I've been pondering, quite honestly, a lot this last year about the seasons of life. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you can divide your life into four seasons, and basically you start the first real season at the age of 5 or 6. You go 20 years and 20 years and 20 years, so you have the spring, summer, fall, winter. And so I'm just at the beginning, I hope, of the winter season of my life. That's where I am. Some of you are there also. Some of you are maybe in your summer or fall season of life. And I've been pondering the times we're all living through and my own personal struggles in this season. I've been reading up on how God uses these things to help us grow because He intends for us to grow. So God has wired me in such a way that I like to understand how things work and how the patterns of things come together. It's one of the things I think that attracted me to chess when I was young, and I became a pretty good chess player, and that was watching those patterns. And I like the idea of watching how people that do things like grow things, gardeners. We have family members who are gardeners. They're terrific gardeners, and there's seasons and there's patterns and there's things you do in those seasons to help the plants grow, which, you know, if you want a plant to grow, don't give it to me. You know, I have the spiritual gift of killing them, so it's just not my thing. My father, on the other hand, was a green thumb person. He looked like to me he was torturing plants, but then they would flourish. You know, he knew how to prune them, when to prune them. I remember this bougainvillea in the front of our house, and it was doing all, I thought it was fine, it looked okay to me, and he goes, no, it's got some disease, and he pruned it. It was just like this stalk was left. I thought, oh my gosh, he's killed it. A year later, it was just glorious, because he knew what he was doing, and he could make something beautiful, and I have a daughter who has that inheritance with plants. She looks at them and caresses and breathes on them, and they just blossom. So I just marvel. She knows when to do what to those plants, those patterns. It's the same in your life. Your life and my life and the season that we're in, there are things that we can apply to our lives to help us grow. And you need to experience various seasons in order to mature and grow. In fact, you'll go through many seasons in your life. You'll experience joyous seasons like a season of marriage and a new child and maybe a new job, or you discover your gifting and a ministry that you're called to and the shape that you are for that specific way to touch people's lives and the power of God. And you'll experience tough seasons too, like when you're grieving, experiencing job loss or struggling with new family dynamics. But here's the good news. God wants to use every one of the seasons of your life for your good. Whatever season you're in, if you're above ground, you are in a season, and God wants to use this season to grow you. So to understand the seasons of life, you have to start with one basic truth under your belt. Here it is. Life is a test. This life is a test. Now, some of you might be thinking of James, where it says, God doesn't test anyone. It says that in James, and that's right. But he set up the world in such a way that the world itself and our life itself is a test. It's a season of, look at it as an obstacle course. You know, there's whole sports of running obstacle courses. Who knew? There are people that go to the obstacle course and work out. When they go there, they can be by themselves and do the whole obstacle course as a workout, and it's a test for them. You see, that the course of those obstacles is a test. It tests their stamina, their strength, their agility. And this is what life is like. Life is a test. It's set up that way. Life is a test because God is preparing us for eternity. This is temporary. And we're in the kindergarten of our existence. And we, even if we're 70, 80, 90 years old, we're going to graduate out of this class and go into the next one in eternity. If you've put your faith in Christ, you'll spend eternity with God, with eternal love, with eternal joy, with the dynamic of the creator of the universe. You'll spend eternity with him. Now, some of you right now might be going, well, Gary, you know, you said if you put your faith in Christ, what about people who don't? Well, the scriptures, I think, are pretty clear on this. If someone does not put their faith in Christ, then God judges them according to how they judge others. And they enter eternity, they stand before the judge of the universe and answer for their lives. And it works like this. Jesus said, you notice the speck in your neighbor's eye. And you have a log in your own eye. You hypocrite, Jesus said. First take the log out of your own eye that you can clearly see to help the person with the speck in their eye. And then he says, as it is measured to you, it will be, as you measure it to others, it will be measured to you. As you judge, so will you be judged. So here's the thing. Okay, somebody doesn't know Christ. What happens in eternity? They stand before the living God, and the way that someone judges others, they will be judged. Now, honestly, most of us are judgmental creatures. And so we have all these judgments. In fact, this is a spiritual exercise. This is really hard to do, by the way, because it takes a great deal of honesty. You start thinking through your day, and you have a journal, and you start putting in that journal, you think through the day, someone that you've been mad at. Well, who was I angry with? Somebody that troubled you, someone that irritated you. And you just put what that irritation was. They were rude. They were impatient. They were unkind. They cut me off, and they deserved that fickle finger of fate, and all of those things, right? And you just start, you make a list, and then you forget about it, and you add to the list and add to it, and then a month or two or a half a year later, you go and you start putting those things on a separate sheet of paper, those judgments. Guess what you find out? You find out what's wrong with you. Because the thing that bothers you about others is what you need to grow in. It's uncanny. Jesus said it. Remove the speck, the log, so you can deal with the speck. It bothers me because I see myself in the other person. Years ago, I was a claims adjuster with the Auto Club of Southern California, and this fellow would come in and to our office, and they would send this person to me. I was just too nice, I guess, but they would send this person to me because he always complained about people who tailgated. He complained and complained. Every 3 to 6 months, he would come in to get a map or something. I need to talk to him, so there's got to be something we can do about all these people that tailgate. Then one day he comes in you're here to talk about, no, I had an accident. What? Yeah, I had an accident. What happened? This guy, he just threw on his brakes right in front of me and I hit him. Yes, that's right. Some of you are getting it. So you sit down and you start asking analytical questions. If you're the claims adjuster, you're trained to do this, and you find out this person was tailgating. And I told him that. I said, you were traveling too close to the person in front of you. He was just like angry that I would suggest such a thing, because this was his little baby, you see, is trying to stop tailgating, but he was guilty of it, you see. This is how we work. You don't want to be before the judge of the living universe. You want to be before the forgiver of judgments. And Jesus came to offer us the opportunity to have salvation now in this life. This is why First John, that's the little book, the big Gospel of John, that's several pages. This is about 5 pages long, First John. He says this, I have written these things to you that you may know, present tense, that you have eternal life. Present tense, right now, that right now you can know you have eternal life. You can know now that you have forgiveness, that the judge of the universe understands who you are and forgives you and offers you eternity. Just step to the front of the line. You know, you're in the long line at, I don't know, this a theme park who will remain unnamed at the moment, and you're in the long line, and somebody comes on, coming through, and they hold up a pass, and they part the crowd, and they move the person right to the front of the line. You go, how is that fair? Well, they have that special pass. Well, Jesus offers you the special pass. Gets you to the front of the line. Past the judgment stuff. So here we are in this life, and we're in these seasons of life, and here's the thing. God wants you to learn a bunch of things before you get to heaven. He doesn't want you to go there just a babe in the woods, not knowing anything. He wants to use this time on earth to prepare you for eternity. Of course, he wants you to know that he died for you, rose and conquered death for you. He wants to have a relationship with you in this world now. Then he wants you to learn certain character qualities, because the kind of person you are is what you take with you into eternity. And so there are these four questions we can ask ourselves in any season we find ourselves in. The first one is this: what's the lesson for this season of my life? Because there's always lessons. And here's two that all of us need to have in our hip pocket and understand. And the first lesson under this question is this: if you flunk a test in the school of life, you can retake it. Oh, I really messed up. I really, really messed up. I really could have done better. I really did the wrong thing. I said these things or had this action, and guess what? God says, yeah, you're right. You messed up. You get to try again. So this is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day is a new day. God's mercies are new every morning, the scriptures tell us. And so you may have flunked the test of patience yesterday. I did. But anyway, you may have. And God says, okay, well, let's try again. You were irritated yesterday, you're going to be irritated today. The opportunity for you to deal with patience. In fact, for myself, I've come to the conclusion that this whole life, the rest of my life, this last season of my life is a season of learning patience. And that's been true now for 50 years. And it's going to continue to be true. See, without tests, you can't grow. That's number one. If you flunk a test, you can retake it. Number two, then when you think you've graduated, and say you have, you just have the patience of St. Francis, and now, you know, people do horrible, mean things to you, and you smile and turn the other cheek, and so forth, and God goes, great, now for the next course. As long as you're on earth, you won't stop learning. You'll always have something to learn about God, yourself, other people, about the world. See, God wants you to grow. God is dynamic. And he wants you to be dynamic and dynamic in your growth. Question number two, what can I, listen to me, enjoy in this life? What is it in this life, in this season of my life, I can enjoy? Some of you are so hyper-responsible that you can't enjoy anything. And you feel a little guilty, and I'm looking in the mirror right now and going, that's you. I grew up, my father was hyper-responsible. Why? Well, from the time he was 8, he had to be an adult. So people stayed alive. He grew up in abject poverty in Alabama during the Great Depression, 1 of 10 kids. His father died young. He was the fourth child, the third son. His older sons were off working in the coal mines. And at 8 years old, here's a gun, Robert. Go find something to eat for the family. And if he came back with nothing, they didn't eat for a couple of days, generally speaking. So this guy, my dad, great guy, love him, just self-sacrificial, did not know how not to work, didn't know how to have fun. His pastime was work, you know. That was his hobby. And so he comes home from work, and I'm 6, 7, 8 years old, and he's comes home and he sees me watching cartoons. I'm a kid, I'm a child, okay, and it's hard for me to admit that, but that's true. I was 6, 7 years old. And he comes in and, you know, "Hi, son, how are you?" He gives me a big hug. No, he walks over and he goes, "What have you done for the family today?" "Oh, I was supposed to do something? I didn't know." You know, it's like, what am I, anyway. That it does not engender having a good time, right? When you have a home life like that. Now, I get it. He thought the Great Depression was going to come back any moment, and if this kid doesn't learn responsibility, how is he going to help the family and all that? We're still waiting for the Great Depression, right? He would be 100 today if he were alive now. But do you see the point? Some of you are going, "Yeah, I get it. Me too. I don't have any recreation, any fun in my life in this journey. Life is too short." Too often we tell ourselves, "We'll enjoy life later, next season, in the next season of life, after I graduate from school and get married, after I have the children, after, you know, I have that career all established, after I retire, after we become empty nesters," and we just put it off and put it off and put it off. And folks, if that is our mindset, we never get there. We never stop and enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it." You love that? "Do everything you want to do." Isn't that great? "Take it all in." This isn't what you wanted to tell your kids, right? No, you're afraid they would, right? Some of you. So then it says, "But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do." There's the guardrail. Okay, there's the guardrail. Go have a great time, but just remember the guardrail. You're going to answer to God someday. Ecclesiastes, it says, the young are to enjoy every minute and to do everything they want to do. The implication is, while you can, do it while you can. Step into enjoying life while you can. I know that's not always easy, but that's what God calls us to. So each one of my 4 daughters graduated from high school. I'd write them a letter giving them life advice and speaking to their lives and tell them the gifts I saw in them and the beauty and the goodness in them and whatnot. And I included this song, the lyrics from this song by Leanne Womack. Some of you know exactly the song if you know who Leanne Womack is. If you don't, go on YouTube just after you subscribe to our channel and look up Leanne Womack and listen to this song. It's called "I Hope You Dance." And just a few of the words. She wrote to her children, "I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance." Amen. See, God sings this over us. He wants us to enjoy life. He didn't just put us down here to, you know, have a miserable time and then die. And then go to heaven. Oh, here's your reward for being impatient in your horrible life. God's got to go, you know, in the Jewish tradition, one of the questions God asks you when you stand before him is, "What did you do with the gifts of joy I gave you?" What gifts of joy? Well, your work, your children, your family, your education, your time, your hobbies. What did you do with them? I hope you'll dance. So, you know, all of my daughters have taken this literally. All of them can dance. All of them dance. They enjoy. You know who else dances? I'm just going to tell on her right now. She'll probably get mad at me, but you know, Judy Villavar? Obviously, she's back there dancing during church, but Judy was telling me this week that her father taught them all to dance, how to dance. She was taught the cha-cha and the tango and the boogie, she said. Isn't that great? I love that. Good for her dad. Good for her. Life's too short to not enjoy the gifts God has given us. So in the midst of the flow of life, you have many rough days as well as good days. And then there's God's counsel to us as we face difficulties. In fact, this is so important that we need to take a moment. This is so important, we're going to memorize two whole Bible verses today before we leave. We cannot leave until you have these memorized. The third one I won't make you memorize. You can do that later if you want. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Ready? Verse 16 is, rejoice always. That's the whole verse, all right? You got that? Rejoice, say that with me. Rejoice always. Okay, we got one of them down. The other one is, verse 17, pray without ceasing. We can go home then someday here when we'll finish up. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Isn't this great? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants you to give thanks. And we take this and we make it on hard things. Yeah, that's right. Even when life's hard, you give thanks. But the point is not to simply focus on the hard things. It's to give thanks for all the good things in life, too. For our purposes today, in dealing with life's difficulties, we want to rejoice always. One translation puts it this way, give thanks in all circumstances. On bad days, on good days, on hard days, on easy days, we can live with this sense of gratitude because it's a day that God has given us. If you have not formed this habit, try to start your day with giving thanks to God for something. Amen. You know when you wake up and the lights are sort of coming on, it's sort of like fluorescent or neon lights and they're blinking, and okay, now I'm awake. When I get to that point every morning, I try to thank God for something. Generally, well, I got another day, huh, God? Woo! Thank you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity in my life, and on and on. And you just start the day that way. It's empowering. So the first question, what are the important lessons I need to learn in this season of life? Number two, what can I enjoy in this season of life? Number three, what is most important in this season? What is most important in this season? Life is about choices. Sometimes we believe the lie that we can do it all. You can't. So you have to make choices. You have to limit, make some tough decisions. Pick the things that are most important and give yourself to them. It says this in Ephesians 5, 15 and following, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. You know, if someone tells you, hey, live like a wise person, that means they think you are wise. You don't say that to somebody that doesn't have the ability to be wise. Listen to the Phillips translation. It says, live life, then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men and women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. So you know the purpose of life. It's in there. He continues, make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days, close quote. There's difficulties in these days. Make the best use of the time and be wise in the midst of it. To make the best use of your time, you'll need to say no to certain things. Maybe even sometimes you say no about church things. Now, you don't say that to me. No, I'm just kidding anyway. Some of you are so hyper-responsible, you can't say no, and God wants to give you permission today to say no. And some of you are need to say yes a little more often, okay? So we need a little more balance here, all right? So you know who you are. Just decide you're going to say yes more to God and no more to the demands if you're overwhelmed with things in your life. Maybe you need more structure or to restructure your work life. Maybe a hobby you love should go on the back burner. You know, there's been a couple of times in my life I had to set chess on the back burner because it consumed all my focus. When I was in college, was I going to study to be a chess master, or was I going to, I don't know, get a college degree and so I could make a living? And so I chose the latter. I had to take all my books and chest paraphernalia and tape them up with duct tape in a box and stick it in the back of my closet to, because that hobby was consuming. Some of you have a hobby that's consuming you. You need to focus on other things like family, more important considerations. Maybe your marriage or your parenting or your grandparenting. So that's number three, what's most important in the season. Number four, how can you help others in this season of your life? As a follower of Christ, as people who give of your time, energy, and treasure to help others and advance God's kingdom, as you have done this, as you give your time, energy, and treasure, no doubt many have spent seasons of your life helping others already. Great, keep it up. Just remember this, you help people best when you're helping them through the use of your own unique gifts, how you're shaped. You have, there's things about you that are unique, things you love. You know, this is what you want to do, how you want to pursue ministry, what gives you joy. Do that. Do that for others. Make sure you're leveraging the unique way God has wired you to help others. Have the worship team come on up. Folks, we can all become easily caught up in the responsibilities of ministering to others, of giving ourselves to our work or our family and helping the greater community, so much so that you spend that time and you're not really serving others, you're just checking a box and fulfilling a responsibility. Give your heart to helping others. Proverbs 3:27 says this, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Who needs help in your life today? Give your time to that. So that's number four, how can we help others in this season of life? So what season of life are you in today? Where are you today? Remember, God wants to use every one of these seasons you're in for good and for your growth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray.